Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
Anybody have a chance to read the newsletter? The part that I wrote? Hopefully all of it. A couple hands. I see those hands, brothers and sisters. We should see more hands. If you haven't had a chance, go back and look at your email. If you want to get on there, go on to ascent.ca. You can get on to our email list. Spend some time talking about, you know, we probably all have done it, right? Anybody ever make a New Year's resolution? I'd be surprised if you haven't. Raise your hand if you've ever in your lifetime made a New Year's resolution. Most people have. How many have made it through the whole year? Ethan, good job, buddy. That's awesome. I have not. I'm trying to think of anything that I've made through the entire year. Most people give up after 6 to 10 days. That's the average time. We're like, we really go after it for 6 days. One of the reasons is because we want the result, but a lot of times we don't know, you know, what's behind it. So what I wrote in that newsletter is that, this is kind of the theme of the matters of the heart is, what if we went after it a little differently this year? And in the next 5 days and the rest of the month, we kept looking at our hearts to go, Lord, what is in our hearts that we can get right with you and maybe right with whatever's going on in our hearts so we can be better prepared for 2025, right? How many have ever ended 2024, 2023, and you're like, I'm in the same place that I was at the beginning of the year? Anybody ever have that happen? Financially, have you ever been worse off? Better off? Physically, have you ever had goals and ended up heavier than you were when you started the month or the year? Yeah, like, all these things happen. But I really do want to end 2025 going, Lord, we have moved forward. Maybe that is physically, maybe that is financial, but more importantly as well, spiritually, that we've met with you, that we've had encounters with you, that our lives have changed because of you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, you know what? This Bible is called the Good News. I got good news for you today. Right. That is good, isn't it? I want to start with something, and I want this to be kind of the launch pad even for this subject of the heart. Krista one day over the holidays sent me a news article. She's like, you got to read this. You know, you're going to love it. And you talk about how sometimes science catches up with the Bible, right? The Bible, we think often the Bible has to catch up with science. Most of the time, science has to catch up with the Bible. So this was a really cool article. I was going to wait to preach. I'm like, I can't wait. I woke up this morning and it was on my heart again. So I'm going to share this incredible article. So this gentleman studies awe, A-W-E. He's a scientist. He's a secular scientist. I would say probably a universalist. He believes in something outside of us, but he would never call it God. But he got onto this topic at some point, and he studies awe. Interesting. You get paid to study awe. Awe, isn't that great? He wanted to discover, and it all started with this neuroscience stuff, where he began to feel like there must be something happening when we are in awe. So I often will use the, you know, when you're looking at just scientific stuff and earth stuff, Rocky Mountains. Anybody ever see the Rocky Mountains and you were in awe? Okay. How many have ever sat and watched the sunset and you were in awe of that sunset? Absolutely. Oceans. Anybody in awe of oceans? Walking through a forest. Okay, let's go different. Let's go, you come across, or maybe you're the mother and father of a newborn baby. How many were in awe of that moment of a baby being born? Husbands, raise your hand. Good time. Raise your hand. Good, good. Your wife, husbands, another opportunity. Just get ready. I'm giving you some help here. Your wife comes around the corner on your wedding day in her wedding dress. How many were in awe? Oh, yes, you were. There are so many things that often will make us stop and be in awe. So here's the incredible thing. He thought, what if I did a study on this? What is happening to us when we are in awe? So he began to do these studies, and I won't go into the whole thing. It's really interesting, both an article and I went to the podcast, but he began to measure people's heart rates. They began to measure patterns in the brain. They began to measure blood pressure, all these different things. And they found that when you are in awe, your body begins to balance back out. Heart rates go down, blood pressure goes down, your vagus nerve gets stimulated, and it begins to draw peace into your body. Very interesting. So what he thought, he says, how do I test this on a large scale? So he asked 75 and up, 75-year-olds and up, he said, I'm going to ask you to go for an awe walk every day. Actually, sorry, he said, I'm going to ask you to go for a walk. I shouldn't say awe walk. I'm going to ask you to go for a walk. But then he took half the group and he said, you guys go for a walk every day. And he took the other half of the group and he said, I want you to go for an awe walk every day. So he has two groups, right? Test control group. And he has the awe group. And the awe group, he gave him this. He says, I want you to stop periodically. And I simply want you to find something that brings awe into your life. So they're like, I don't know, what does that look like? And they're like, just go out and find it. So these people started to walk, and as they went on their walks, they would find a flower, and they would find themselves in awe, just trying to be in awe of the flower. It could be that sunset. They just found different things. It could be like a little butterfly. Like, they just found ways to be in awe. Here's the crazy thing. The control group at the end, they had some small little, you know, because you're walking every day, that's good. But the other group had massive changes in their body. This is crazy. Their pain went down to a level that they hadn't had in years. Their stress was down. Here's another thing that started to happen. They began to study awe or look for awe, and the more they looked for it, the more they found it. It's like it's contagious, and before they know it, they're not on awe walks. They're looking at things, and they're in awe all the time. So their pain's going down, the blood pressure's going down, the heart rates are going down, they're getting healthier, they're getting more connected. And here's the thing, this is really cool. A lot of them began to realize that they were not the most important thing in life, that there was something bigger. And you know how they studied that? This is really cool. They told everybody on their walks they had to take a picture, they had to take a selfie. Because how would you figure that out? They had to take a selfie. And so the people that went for walks, they would take, and these are 75-year-olds, so they probably had to maybe teach them, you know, what's a selfie? So they'd take selfies, and the people were really concerned about how they look because, you know, like they're going back to their teenage years, and they're taking the selfies, and they were always in the middle of the picture. The people that went on the awe walks, here's what's really cool. They had to be in the picture, but little by little, as they went on the awe walks, they begin to realize that, like, they would take pictures and they became less and less a part of the picture. The sunset, they would grab the sunset and they were off in the corner. You know, if they're doing a butterfly, like their face is there, but the butterfly's in there. And they began to realize, and the people even commented how they understood that they weren't the center of attention. Which is fascinating because we live in a world right now. I'm saying all this because I'm convinced more than ever before that the local church, through Jesus Christ, is an answer to a lot of the world's problems. Now, that's a bold statement because there's a real move right now to get rid of church. I actually believe the more I study, because, and I can deconstruct things pretty easy. It's easy for me to look at things and go, do we need this? The more I looked at that study and I thought, wait a minute. Isn't this what we do every Sunday? We should be doing. Don't we walk into the building and turn our eyes into something greater than us? And hopefully when we do that, we become in awe. Like, I hope you felt a bit of awe in worship today as we worshiped. Not because of the music. Interesting thing, as they played music, these people that inspired them, they had another level of awe. So interesting enough, I say not about the music. I wouldn't want to say it's all about professionalism, but at the same time, we do want music that draws our awe to God, draws our attention. And here's what should happen is that we begin to go, you know what? man, I am actually not the most important thing. He is the most important thing. And it draws our attention to him. As I began to study all this, I thought, man, we do this every Sunday, and we should come in going, man, I'm going to have an awe Sunday. And it's going to be, pardon the pun, awesome. But that's where that word came from, that we should be like, man, I'm going to put my attention on something bigger than me. I'm going to put my focus on something bigger than me, and it's going to. So you think about when you come in on a Sunday, what could be happening if you do that? Just in the natural, your blood pressure is probably going down. Peace is coming in, right? Your vagus nerve is being stimulated, which actually draws peace into your body, and it rebalances. This is scientific, rebalances you. It actually brings down inflammation. All these things are happening when you put your eyes on something bigger. They're all going, well, there's something bigger. We don't know what it is. We get to worship somebody that we know. Amen? And then you add in, let me read this. Tony sent this morning. Okay, so we don't worship a God we don't know. We worship a God that not only do we know, and you mean like, I don't really know him, but he knows you. Tony said this morning. She said, this morning I was sitting with the Lord and I just kept getting such a strong sense of how much he wants us to know his love, the vastness of it, that he loves us no matter what. He loves us so deeply. He loves us when we are complaining, angry, yelling, and in our bad times. That's just good news right there. He still loves you. Amen. He loves us when we are rejoicing and thankful and when we are in good times. His love never fails and it knows no end. He is wanting to know that if he chastens us, he still loves us. He guides us. He directs us with and through his love. If he didn't love, he wouldn't care. He desires us to know so much. He desires for us to know he loves us more than we can comprehend. So we come in to worship a God that is touching Tony's heart in the morning to tell us how much he loves us. Like, church, if this doesn't inspire us into awe, then our hearts need to be recalibrated. Let me add this, another article that I read that came in my email. This is why I think the church is the hope of the world. Because in the article I read, it talked about a corporate anxiety that is over the world. And that a corporate anxiety is increased by the corporate anxiety. So this is what that means. Basically, have you ever had somebody anxious walking in the room and the whole room gets anxious? Yep. It's contagious, right? What happened during COVID? Anxiety became contagious, right? The world, and in some instances, there was some, you know, real reason. There were people who were sick and they were frightened. But other people that didn't even know heard about it and got anxious. Anxiety was increased. You see that if you watch the news, anxiety is increased. And so they're talking about, like, when you, okay, have you ever been to Costco and your anxiety increases? Let's just get down to real things, right? Corporate anxiety, Costco. You don't even have to get into Costco. It's the parking lot that, you know, they need a parking lot for the park. Like, it's, you're parking in Timbuktu now if you really want to get into Costco. So you're like, you're singing down the road and you're having a great day. And then you pull in and you're like, I'm not going to find a spot. You know, and you're trying to find a spot and you're like, oh my gosh, there's so many cars and anxiety is increasing. Now, that's just not for you. Other people have had the same experience. So you get into Costco and nobody's singing the song anymore, except for me. I'm usually whistling, drives people crazy. But everybody's like, I got to find my thing. I got to put that in my cart. And there's this anxiety in Costco. It's corporate anxiety. So let me, and this is, by the way, I'll talk about our heart because we want our heart. I'm trying to give you a solution before we dive into some of the other stuff in coming weeks. But I am convinced I want my heart to be as healthy as possible in 2025. And if there are things like corporate anxiety and fear, And I will go into other things like your heart gets blackened. And let me show you this for a second. Can you put that slide up? This is not a heart, but this is the easiest way for me to show it. Oh, it's up there. Okay, good. This is lungs. It's harder to see on a heart, but it actually looks very similar. There we go. Anybody know what this is the difference of? smoker and a non-smoker, it's the lungs. That's yummy. One on the left, obviously, is fresh skin. It's not been infected or affected by smoking. The other one, man, you look at the damage done by just inhaling smoke. Now, the body's incredible. Talk about the grace of God that you could stop smoking and begin to see changes happen, right? A lot of people have had a lot of recovery, if not full recovery. But how many know if that was our heart, we don't want to go into 25. We wouldn't want our lungs to look like that. We wouldn't want our heart to look like that. But did you know that spiritually our hearts could look like that and we're totally unaware of it? Sometimes we wonder why we have struggles in areas. So that's why I talked about if we're going to do these New Year's resolutions, what if we got to the root? You know, what if binge eating, which causes overweight, really has not to do with as much food as it does to do with some of the pain that's inside of you that causes you to overeat? Over drink, over smoke, over you name it. What if there's something else, and if your heart could get healed, like reality is, we could judge somebody else. Did you guys know we all numb somehow? We all try to find escapes one way. It could be Netflix. It could be scrolling through Instagram and YouTube and, you know, all these different things. And we are trying to numb our brains to get out of what the pain is. But God's like, hey, I died for you so you could get healed of that pain. Because I really believe there are things in all of us, I don't care how long you've been on this earth, there are things that God wants to heal us of that are causing these other symptoms. I don't want my heart to look like that at the end of 2025. I would rather not my heart to look like that at the end of January. So you add in bitterness, anxiety, unforgiveness, pain, betrayal, like you name it, this is what our heart begins to look like spiritually if we do not go before the Lord. And then I would be the first one to let you know that I know my heart has some areas on it. I promise you. And some of it is what I go through in my job. The one day I was praying, and I never thought of this. The two things that can really scare you is when God says, you have unforgiveness towards me and bitterness. I do? Yep. Now, he didn't say it. Often we talk like he says it like that. It's that knowing, right? You guys, that knowing where you're like, he just dropped something where you wouldn't be thinking about that. And you're like, oh, I got to think about that. It's not like, I would love to hear the voice of God. I really would. I'd really love to hear the voice of God. But I began to realize those two things. I had unforgiveness and bitterness towards God and towards the church and what I've gone through. So I've been on a journey to go, Lord, I want to get my heart right. Because it can be hard to minister if your heart's not right. It can be hard to love people if your heart's not right. All right. So those two articles, what I want you to take away from that, and then I'm just going to do a few scriptures here. I want you to take away the fact that when you come in to a house of the Lord, I believe there is something about corporate worship that you cannot get outside of it. I really believe that. Let me jump ahead to maybe some weeks down the road, but let me read just real quick. It's fascinating. These are just quickly some of the why anxiety and depression is increasing. Social media and comparison. So think with me for that whole awe study. Social media and comparison. So if that is causing anxiety to go up and you practice awe and you become less important because you realize somebody else is more important, what's going to happen? Your anxiety is going to decrease and social media won't play as much of a role of making that increase. Okay, you following me? So when your life is spent, young people, taking pictures and making sure you look perfect, and you can begin to go, you know what? I'm not the center of attention. I already look good. Tell yourself that every day. It's important. I look good already. He's more important than I am. So that anxiety decreases. So that's social media, achievement pressure, economic uncertainty. All those things are causing increase. Then there's technological overload, which is information overload, digital dependency. Then there's these global changes, pandemics and climate change and geographical instability. Then there's lifestyle factors, sedentary lifestyle, sleep deprivation, which is often caused because of digital technology, which is interesting. They go back and forth. You go through all these biological things, which is neurochemical imbalances and stress. When you get down to it and you look at each one of those, most of them, it talks about social isolation. You think about a lot of these, when we come in into a place where we put our digital technology away, we come around people so we're not socially isolated. We even dance a little bit, you know, you're getting some exercise. It's funny that all these things, putting our attention on the Lord, is combating stress and anxiety in our life. You following me? So part of me wonders, why are Christians running around so anxious? Is it possible that in 2025, he wants us to begin to learn how to, again, walk in the ways of Jesus? I'm convinced I don't always walk in the way of Jesus. I believe Jesus went on the mountaintop and was always in awe of his Father. His Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But one has to wonder if one and the other are in awe of each other. Father, look at you. Son, look at you. Holy Spirit, look at you. I gotta wonder. But what if we could find a place in 2025? I said this at the beginning last week before it was 2025. We cannot determine what 2025 is gonna look like, but we can get ourselves in a posture to be able to walk through it. How many had that? 2025 is gonna be different than 2024. And then 2025 came and you're like, it feels exactly the same. Because the world keeps moving forward. If you look at the last couple weeks, we've had plane crashes, was the volcano. There's been, I don't know how many different things on the earth. And people can often go, look what's happening. What I'd say is it's gonna continue. The world continues. Things happen and it's tragic. But where is our hearts to be able to take it? Amen? All right, I wanna read a few scriptures today. And then I'm gonna give you a couple tasks to do this week. But this is what we looked at last week. Turn to Proverbs. If you don't have the Bible app, man, get the Bible app. It's such a good app. If you have a Bible here, turn. Cool thing about the Bible app is that you can look at any different translation. Proverbs 4:23. Number one verse. You can talk about the heart with any article if you look it up. Proverbs 4:23 is the number one verse that comes up. I just want to touch on it for a few minutes, even though we did last week, but Proverbs 4:23. Let's start actually verse 20. Just to give you context, this is Solomon. He said, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. That's interesting that you know you can take the words of the Lord and Proverbs and read them, and you have a promise that those words will be flesh or health to your flesh. You guys just caught that, right? Like you could read, and if you have never read Proverbs, I encourage you to, because even business people that don't go to church read Proverbs because it's got so much even business wisdom in it. But it says, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. And then it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Let me read it in a couple different translations here. Out of it spring the issues of life. Passion Translation says, so above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. I'll read that one more time. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Let's just stop there for a minute. Put the lungs back up if you don't mind. This is secondary to the heart, but how many know that lungs affect a lot of what you can do? Right? You go from running up the stairs with the lungs that look like that on the left to the ones on the right, you know, you get five steps up and you're like, we were recently somewhere this weekend and I was amazed at how many people, elderly people who live in this case, very sedentary, and they would do about three steps. And they do another three steps. Why? Because their something is damaged. I don't know if it's their heart or their lungs or their body, but it is affecting their entire life. And this verse is saying, hey, pay attention to your heart because it's going to affect everything. Another translation says it'll affect the entire course of your life. That's pretty serious, right? Come on, pay attention to your heart because it'll affect your entire course of your life. I want you to think for a second. Maybe this is you. Hopefully it's not. But maybe you've met somebody that is so bitter, like they ooze bitterness. They can't speak without, you know, within 5 minutes you feel they're angry. How many know if you look at their life, it's affected their course of their life? It's affected the decisions they make. It's affected their health. It's affected how they feel and how they get up in the morning. It affects their joy. It affects their hope. It affects all of it. And so the writer, Solomon in Proverbs, is trying to say, listen, pay attention to your heart because it's going to affect every avenue. In the Passion Translation, it says, pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being. From there flows the wellsprings of life. I think that's so interesting, the wellsprings of life. And when you look up the word wellspring, wellspring literally means it's the fountainhead. It's like if there's a fountain, you're looking at the very, very beginning of that fountain. Or if there's a stream, or if there's, you know, you find where the water begins. And he's saying, listen, if you find where it begins, and it's basically, if it's bad at the very beginning, it's going to be bad all the way down. So if you can catch it right at the beginning, and you can get it cleared up, the rest is going to be amazing. So I go back to what I wrote in that thing. If we're trying to solve all these other things, it's like the dam is breaking, but we're trying to put our finger into little holes. But what if we could solve the bigger problem? And the bigger problem has to do with our hearts, right? And church, can I give you a warning? A lot of times we think, well, I go to church. My heart's fine. Don't be fooled. I think sometimes church people can actually be even more deceived because we think just because of the cross, and I'm not talking about salvation. I'm not talking even about God's forgiveness. I'm talking about the remnants of what you're holding on to and how it's affecting your life. I've probably met more jaded, angry Christians than I have other people. And I'm like, that, Lord, I just heard something yesterday. It was a horrible situation of a church and a split and where they're at today. And the person that was telling me the story said, you know, this was built up tension for 15 years that came against the pastor. And part of me is listening. I'm like, I don't comprehend this. Because we're Christians that know to walk in the way of Jesus is to forgive people, to let go of bitterness, to be forgiven by our Savior. So part of me is like, how does this work if people are holding anger for 15 years? And then I say that. And even as I said it, the Lord nudged me. Because I know there are areas in my life I'm doing the same thing. Don't you hate that when you're preaching something? Maybe you've never preached it. You're sharing with somebody. And he like kicks you in the butt gently like, you too, dummy. He doesn't say it like that, but you're like, oh. That's how fast I think. I'm like thinking of things. I'm like, oh, that's how it's done. That's how easy it happens. And you build this bitterness and anger. And before you know it, you don't want to talk to the person. I've had people that I've walked up to in the past go to shake their hand. They won't shake my hand. And I'm clueless. I'm like, you're holding such bitterness towards me. I don't even know why. Maybe at one time, maybe. This is what we have to begin to walk out of as Christians, as followers of Jesus, because I don't want my lung, my heart looking like that. But this one verse, let me give you a second one. Don't turn there. Proverbs 23:7, if you want to write it down. For as he thinks in his heart, so he is. As you think in your heart, so you are. What does that mean? Basically means that as you think, all those actions are going to come out. I'm going to go another day into that. But I'll tell you, you want to find out where your heart is, listen to your mouth. Listen to how you think, because they will begin to show you. If you find yourself complaining about something, and maybe as friends we need to do this, we're so afraid sometimes, but maybe we need to go, hey, I just want to let you know, Jay's been teaching about this stuff, but have you ever really noticed that that topic really agitates you? No, it doesn't. Okay, then. But brother, if it does, I'm here with you. Like, do you want to pray about it? Do you want to talk about it? Do you need to, like, can I help you walk through forgiveness? You know, you can do that with somebody. Hey, why don't we just take a second in here and ask the Lord to begin to touch your heart? Like, we need to become more active in this. I need people in my life. Let me be real. I need people in my life to stop me and go, you know what? This keeps coming up, Jay. You keep talking about the same thing year after year. You've been preaching on it. Do you want to walk with Do you want to walk through that? It's going to be hard. It's going to be awkward. I'm the pastor. I need to be real and go, yeah, you totally called me out on it. You're right. And my words are showing up and showing me where my heart's at. It might be something where I'm like, wow, I did not know that. I keep going back to that. Oh, yeah, you do often. Oh, really? What if we were all in love, willing to go and talk with you. Now, listen, please. Don't all of you text me after the service. Now that you brought it up, it's a great opportunity to tell you. That's not what I'm asking for, right? Then if you're willing to do that with me, let's all be willing to do with each other. What I am saying, though, is if you're out for coffee with me and something comes up, you know what? We should be able to talk with each other. We go get scans for the purpose of finding out what our lungs are like, right? We get a scan. It would be, well, you know what? Sometimes reality is we do it. I don't want to go get a scan. I don't want to find out. Or don't show me that. Don't show me that picture. Instead of going, oh, is that what my insides look like? Okay, doctor, what do I need to do to get healthy? Okay, Lord, what do I need to do in the next 4 weeks to set myself up to be ready to walk through 2025 and beyond in a better place, right? Amen. One more scripture and then we're gonna close. Two more scriptures and then we're gonna close. This is Psalm 139. Verse 23. Be a good one to write down. This is a good one to pray every day. Psalm 139, verse 23 says, this is the NLT, New Living Translation. If you wonder why sometimes I share different translations, sometimes they're easier to understand for me and hopefully for you. This one, NLT says, search me, O God, and know my heart. And then it says, test me and know my anxious thoughts. What if for the next 5 days before next Friday, or what if for the next 4 weeks, that became a morning prayer? God, search my heart, because we're going after having a pure heart. We're going after having a healthy heart. God, would you search my heart? And would you show me my anxious thoughts? Anybody else want to walk with me on that one? I want to find out, and aren't you thankful that God spoke to Tony and said, God loves us? Because he's going to come after it as, okay, my child, my son, my daughter, let's go after this stuff. Let's go after the things that you don't realize are causing you to lash out, are causing you to stick inside your room, are causing you to feel anxious and envy and bitter and all those things. Let's go after that. Because I believe we could be in a world with Jesus and a relationship where that stuff doesn't touch us as often or doesn't stick with us as long. So again, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. One more scripture I want to read. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 105. What I'm going to try to do over the next few days on our Facebook group, if you're not a part of the group, let me know and we'll get you on. You have to be on Facebook. I may try to text it out. We'll see. Easier on Facebook, our Facebook group. What I like to do is try to put a video on just to help you if you don't know where to go for music. If you already have something you listen to in the morning, I would love for you to do this. I would love for you to start off and go, Lord, I'm going to spend time with you today. I'm going to give 10 minutes. If you don't do anything and you can do 10 minutes, start with 10 minutes. Because 10 minutes is better than nothing. A lot of times we're like, I don't have time. 10 minutes. Sit before the Lord. Put on either the song that you have that talks about the majesty of God or how awesome God is. Don't do one about us. Don't do one about our feelings. Do one about him. And go on an awe journey with him and go, Lord, I just want to spend time, 5 minutes with this song, and I'm going to think about all the awesome things of you. Go on an awe journey. So I can have a video. And sometimes for people, if you watch something, you get sidetracked, like you got to do you and figure out what works. Some people can like really enter in watching. Some people are like, I can't. I gotta hear and focus. So you figure that out. But spend that time and go, Lord, I want to be awed by you. And we said, didn't we? A beautiful bridge that says, may I never lose the wonder of your presence. May I always stand in awe of who you are. Oh, the beauty and the gift of your friendship is like anything I've ever known. We can start with that song tomorrow. And when you get to that part, Lord, my heart, maybe your heart, and you can right away go, like, my heart is not as tender anymore to your presence. Anybody ever go through seasons like that where you're like, I'm not as tender as I used to be? Nobody else? I have. I'll be real. I have, of course. I'm like, Lord, I want to be tender. I don't want to lose the awe of your presence. So Lord, would you heal that part of my heart? Whatever is causing that, would you heal that? And just begin to be in awe of him. Maybe you start with stories that you know in the Bible, or maybe you start with testimonies that you know of, or maybe you start being just grateful, Lord, that you died on the cross for me. Took away the sins, my sins and the world. And you start there and get grateful and thankful. And then what I would do for the rest of the time, I'd read maybe a psalm, something, but I would spend time and say, Lord, search my heart. Begin to search my heart. I thank you that you are gentle, God. I thank you that you love me, but search my heart so I can get healed. And if there's anything I'm carrying towards somebody, if there's bitterness or anger, and just begin to let him speak to you. And I promise you, if you're listening and you really want this, he will begin to do things. Now, here's the next challenge. What are you going to do with what he shows you? Sometimes it could just be you and him getting your heart right. But sometimes we have an ought with someone and we need to go make it right. It's so important to do that. Because those moments, maybe it's just a little thing that creates a seed of bitterness, that creates a bigger thing, that creates disconnect. All right, so we'll put some music on. We'll do that in the morning. I'll try to do that even the night before or in the morning. spend some time on an awe journey. And then ask, Lord, search my heart. Show me where I'm angry. Show me where I'm bitter. Show me. So that, wouldn't you love to say, you know what? At the end of January, the end of next week, takes more time than that usually. Look at my heart. It's not black anymore. It's like the whole Scrooge story, right? It's Christmas Day. He's a new person. Well, you don't want ghosts to visit you, except for the Holy Ghost, right? You don't need anything else to visit you to get your heart right. You need Holy Spirit to come and make your heart right. So please stand. The last scripture. Oh, I was going to read it while you're standing. This is a great scripture. I'll put this on tomorrow. There's a couple I want to write out. Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make his deeds known among the people. Sing to him. Sing songs to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Let the what? Hearts. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. You know what that is? That's an awe moment. That's the author of Psalms having an awe moment. Look how amazing God is. And every time we come in and worship, we have those awe moments. Amen? So Lord, I thank you that you are in this season working on our hearts. Lord, we just, maybe even in fear and trembling, a little nervous, but Lord, we ask you, would you come in and begin to heal our hearts? Lord, you know, and maybe we are totally unaware of some areas in our life that need to be healed. Would you gently, as that father that you are, begin to turn over some stones, turn over some pain and heal the very root. Lord, we want that wellspring to be clear. We want whatever's flowing out of us to be pure and holy. And so, Lord, we just look to you and ask that you would search our hearts and heal us. Lord, I bless everyone here. I pray, Father God, that you would have great mercy and compassion upon them as we walk through this. Lord, wherever there is deep pain, I pray, Father God, if they feel like they can't do it by themselves, that they would walk with somebody or call the office. But Lord, we ask for our hearts to be cleansed. I bless everyone here in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.